من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وجاءوا أباهم عشاء يبكون. قالوا يا أبانا إنا ذهبنا نستبق وتركنا يوسف عند متاعنا فأكله الذئب وما أنت بمؤمن لنا ولو كنا صادقين. وجاءوا على قميصه بدم كذب قال بل سولت لكم أنفسكم أمرا فصبر جميل والله المستعان على ما تصفون. وجاءت سيارة فأرسلوا واردهم فأدلى دلوه قال يا بشرى هذا غلام وأسروه بضاعة والله عليم بما يعملون. وشروه بثمن بخس دراهم معدودة وكانوا فيه من الزاهدين. وقال الذي اشتراه من مصر لامرأته أكرمي مثواه عسى أن ينفعنا أو نتخذه ولدا. وكذلك مكنا ليوسف في الأرض ولنعلمه من تأويل الأحاديث والله غالب على أمره ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون. ولما بلغ أشده آتيناه حكما وعلما وكذلك نجزي المحسنين.
We continue the story where we left off, that the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam threw him into the well. They did their act of cruelty to their own younger brother, the sinless small child, and now they have to continue in their plots. So they come back to their fathers. They come back Isha'an, late at night. And the typical thing is when you go out on this type of things, you would come back before Maghrib, before, you know, in the early time. So to make their story look more real, they come back late at night. And on top of that, they come back crying as well. False tears. They come back crying. So they're setting the scene as it is by coming to their fathers at this time when they shouldn't have come. They should have been back at home long before this. And they set the scene also by having these fake tears come out. قَالُوا يَا أَبَانَا. They said, our father, we went نَسْتَبِقْ. We went racing one another, playing with one another. وَتَرَكْنَا يُوسُفَ عِنْدَ مَتَاعِنَا. We left Yusuf with our goods, meaning the clothes that we had, the food that we had. We left him there. فَأَكَلَهُ الذِّئْبُ. And the wolf came and ate him. وَمَا أَنْتَ بِمُؤْمِنَ لَا. You will not believe us even if we are truthful. So here they're using the same excuse that Ya'qub gave them in the beginning. The same excuse that he was worried about, they are using it. And this shows you, some of the ulama have said that this shows you that the person should be wise and not give excuses for his enemies, not give some tactic to his enemy that he can use against him. Here Ya'qub told them a fear. Now what other excuse will they have? What could they say? They used that same thing that Ya'qub said. Ya'qub said, I'm scared the wolf will eat him. What excuse could they come with? They go with their brothers and they're coming back alone. So they used the same idea that Ya'qub gave them. So some of the ulama said this shows that the wise person does not give tactics to his enemy to use, because they had no other tactic except the way that Ya'qub told him. Now of course Ya'qub is not to blame here, because these are his own children and he does not expect something that evil from them. So Ya'qub is not to blame here, but we can derive this as a point of benefit from the story. So they come back at this late time crying, and they give this excuse that the wolf ate him, and you will not believe us even if we are truthful. Now this ayah, Surah 17 of verse Yusuf, there is a long aqidah discussion. This microphone? Alhamdulillah. There is a long discussion, an aqadid aspect, which we really don't have time to get into, perhaps with questions and answers, but some of the Ahlul Bid'ah, they say that the word Iman is synonymous to tasdiq, which means belief. Okay? The word Iman is synonymous to mere belief in the heart. And what is their evidence? Their evidence is this ayah in the Quran. You will not have Iman even if we are truthful. Iman and tasdiq are both mentioned here, and they say as synonyms. However, the aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah is that Iman comprises of tasdiq, yes, it comprises of belief in the heart, but it also includes statements of the tongue and actions of the limbs, and the evidences for that are many. But the point is, the way this verse should be translated is, you will not fully believe us. Iman meaning you will not have a belief that is followed by contentment, a belief that is a peaceful belief. There is a type of belief where a person will believe but his heart has some doubts. The brothers of Ya'qub, the brothers of Yusuf are saying, you will not believe in us that full level of belief, that belief which has no doubts in it. It is fully a peaceful, a contentful belief, even if we were telling the truth. And they came with his shirt, وَجَاءُوا عَلَىٰ قَمِيصِهِ بِذَمٍ كَذِبٍ. They came with on his shirt with a lying blood, a kadhib blood. And this is an exaggeration, because the blood does not lie. But to show the falsehood of the blood, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَدَمٍ كَذِبٍ. بِدَمٍ كَذِبٍ, which is a mubalagha or an exaggeration, showing you the evil nature of this blood. And the scholars say that what they did was they took a goat, or some people say a rabbit, whatever they took that animal, they killed it, and they then soaked the blood onto the shirt of Yusuf alayhi salam. So they brought this as evidence, as proof. Now what more can you say? We're coming back without Yusuf. Here is his blood. Soaked with his, here is the shirt soaked with his blood to prove it. How do you have any reason to doubt us? قَالَ بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا. He said, verily, سَوَّلَتْ, يعني something has been made beautiful. سَوَّلَتْ means it has been made beautiful to you. سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ, your souls have made this matter beautiful to you. أَمْرًا, some matter. He doesn't know what it is. He uses it in the Arabic, which means some matter, any matter, the nakya. Some matter has been made pleasing to you. I don't know what it is. I don't know your plot and plan, but something, your souls have commanded you to do something, and they have made this thing appear beautiful to you. فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. So I will have a patience which is beautiful patience. Okay? فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. In other words, the patience I will have is a beautiful patience. Or what I will do now is I will have beautiful patience. The Arabic, there's something mahluf, and it's understood by meaning there's something missing. It's understood by meaning, what is that thing that is missing? There are a number of things. It could be, so my situation will be that I will have a beautiful patience. Or it could be, the patience that I will have is a beautiful patience. فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. What is a beautiful patience? A beautiful patience is a patience that does not have any complaints in it. You don't complain to anyone. You keep your worries and your griefs to yourself. This is what a beautiful patience is. وَاللَّهُ مُسْتَعَانُ عَلَى مَا تَصِفُونَ. And Allah is the one who I turn to against what you have described. In other words, you have described to me something which I know cannot be true. I have no option but to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one that I turn to help me against your descriptions that Yusuf has been killed or something has happened to him. Now look, this shows you, from now this shows you that sins lead to more sins. Because they said, let's get rid of Yusuf, then we'll be pious people. But look what they have to do. They have to say lie upon lie upon lie. They come home late. They have false tears. They say that Yusuf has been eaten by a wolf. And on top of that, they must have taken his shirt off, leaving him without even a shirt, without even clothes to protect him from the cold. They leave him without his shirt, and they kill an innocent animal and put the blood of that animal under. Sin upon sin. So right now you know that this promise that Shaitan has given them, or has deceived them with, will not be fulfilled. That after you do this act, you will become pious people. It will not occur. At least in this point in time, until Allah wills it to occur. Why? Because as the ulama say, sins lead to other sins. You start off with a small sin, it will lead to bigger and bigger and bigger sins. And this is what we see right now happening in front of us. Tayyib, why did Ya'qub not believe them? Why did Ya'qub not believe them? This is a very important question. They come home with evidence upon evidence. Their features, their demeanor, everything screams out that the wolf did eat them. The answer to this is many. Firstly, because of the dream that Yusuf himself saw. Remember the dream? Yusuf himself saw it, and his father knew that the dream will come true. Whatever it is, it will come true. Okay? Secondly, and this is the main point, and this, even the there's a science called criminology, which means the study of criminals. Okay? Very nefarious and evil science, the study of criminals. The people study the mindset of criminals and how they do their crimes. These scientists even say, in our times, that no person can do a perfect crime. It is almost impossible to do a perfect crime. You will leave some evidence. You will leave something that, especially the greater the crime is, the more the evidence. So if a person plans to murder another person, because of his fear and guilt and all of that, for sure, they say he will make somewhere at least a dozen mistakes. The minimum is a dozen mistakes that he shouldn't have done. Okay? Here, this is also proven, although this is something else, but it is proven in that in their eagerness to lie, in their fear of being caught, they fall into a very, very big blunder, which proves with beyond a shadow of a doubt that they are lying. Can anyone figure this out quickly? The shirt has not been ripped, exactly. The shirt is still intact. So they come back to Yaqub, right, with a full shirt, no holes in it, no, nothing torn, and the shirt is bloodstained. How can a wolf eat up Yusuf and leave the shirt so nice? And how can a wolf spill blood and the shirt itself is not torn? So in the very evidence that they bring back, the fact that they are lying is shown. The evidence is used against them. The very act of theirs will be used against them. So that's why he knows beyond a shadow of a doubt that Yusuf has not been killed and he is still alive. Therefore he seeks Allah's refuge. Wallahu musta'an. Allah is the one who I turn to for help. Ala ma tasifun, against what you describe. طيب, now we get back to Yusuf. All alone in the world, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَاءَتْ سَيَّارَةً. The sayyara, the caravan came by. فَأَرْسَلُوا وَارِدَهُمْ. They sent their warid. The warid is the one who collects water. He is in front of the army, he searches for water and he brings it back so that the people can go to that place. So this well was a well-known place, and that is why the oldest brother told them to throw Yusuf in this well, that they knew that the caravans would pass by, and indeed it did occur. So they sent their warid. فَأَدْلَى دَلْوَهُ. He lowered his bucket. When he lowered his bucket, Yusuf alayhi salam, he caught onto the rope and he put himself in the bucket. So when he pulled it out, he said, Ya Bushra, hadha ghulam. What good luck, good news, hadha ghulam, this is a boy, I have caught a boy. Wa asarruhu bida'a, and they hid him as merchandise. How did they hide him? As merchandise. They hid him as merchandise. In other words, they immediately had the idea that they're going to sell him and gain some profit. Wallahu alimun bima ya'malun. Allah is well aware of what they did, because this is a great sin of the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be extremely angry at on the Day of Judgment, and He will not talk to, and He will punish them. A severe punishment is, and like the Prophet said, a person who takes a free person and sells him into slavery. He captures a free person and sells him into slavery. The laws of slavery in Islam are long and complicated, but the asal of slavery is kufr. In jihad, the Muslims go out, they fight the kuffar. If they wish to leave the prisoners of war alive, those prisoners of war, they have the option of becoming slaves. That is the only way that you can catch slaves, and then their descendants are also slaves after them. As for catching a free person and selling them, this is a very major sin in Islam, and that is why Allah says, is like a threat. Allah is well aware of what they did. They did the crime that they did, and Allah is well aware of it. وَشَرَوْهُ بِثَمَنٍ بَخْسٍ. They sold him for a paltry sum, a very small sum. دَرَاهِمَ مَعْدُودَ. A small number of darahim, of silver coins. Now the price of slaves is very, very expensive, okay, very high. Even in the past, in the present they don't exist, but even in the past many people, they five to ten, imagine they will have slaves. No, if they lived in the past, we wish we had slaves. In reality, slaves was something for the rich people, very rich. And especially, for example, a young boy like this nature, it will be extremely costly and expensive, because he will be with you for another 40, 50, 60 years as your slave. Versus if you buy a 50-year-old person, it will be obviously much cheaper. So Allah is saying, وَشَرَوْهُ بِثَمَنٍ بَخْسٍ. They sold him for a bakhs, a very paltry sum. And to make an emphasis, Allah then says, دَرَاهِمَ مَعْدُودَ. A limited number of coins, of silver coins, not even golden coins. وَكَانُوا فِيهِ مِنَ الزَّاهِدِينَ. They were very zahid. In other words, they had no desire for him, a lot of desire for him. Okay? In other words, they didn't have a lot of desire for him, in the sense that when something comes to you for free, automatically you trivialize it, even though it might be expensive. Whereas if you buy something, or you search for something, or you hunt for something, and then you obtain it, it has a higher place in your heart. So here, they were zahid in Yusuf, in the sense it was a free thing, it just came to them, so we might as well get something out of it, no big deal. And also another reason is that if they were to raise a human commotion by a costly price, Yusuf might have given them away. Yusuf might have exposed them, that I'm a free person, they're selling me into slavery. Okay, and if that were to be the case, then it's just better to get rid of him. When the first buyer comes, and let's just sell him for the smallest price that is offered. Who did the selling? Amazingly, most of the ulama of tafsir, they claim that the brothers of Yusuf sold Yusuf to the caravans for a paltry sum. However, the muhaqqiqeen and many of the modern ulama as well, and some of the ulama of the past, they say that the people who sold him were the caravan traders. This is what is being talked about. And that is because the whole context is talking about the caravan traders. As for the brothers of Yusuf, they're home now crying with their fathers. Okay? And the whole context is talking about the caravan people, the people of the caravan. Ala kullah, whichever one it was, either way, whoever did this to him did a great injustice. Whether it was the brothers, if it's the brothers, then it's injustice upon their injustice. Vulm upon vulm. And if it's the caravan traders, then they too are guilty of a great vulm, that they took Yusuf and they sold him into slavery for a very small price. The one who bought him from Masr, from the one who bought him from Egypt. Now the caravan then is in Palestine. It is making its way up towards Egypt, east towards Egypt. So now this is where Yusuf is transported from Palestine to Egypt. So Allah mentioned this by saying the one who bought him from Egypt. So now he is in Egypt. And the one who bought him from Egypt was the minister, the Aziz, working under the king of Egypt. So the one who bought him from Egypt told his wife, أَكْرِنِي مَثْوَى. By the way, before we move on, one point I forgot to mention. The last verse, yes, a fifth point some of the ulama have derived. When you go to a shop to buy something, and it appears that everything in the shop is, you know, halal and is owned by the owner, even if he's a non-Muslim, in the sense that you don't have any reason to question him, then your transaction is halal, even if what the person did was haram. Where do we get this from? Where do we get this from? Yusuf is a free man. He's not supposed to be sold as a slave. So the fact that the caravan people sold him, knowing that he is a free man, is dhulm. But the fact that Aziz bought him from the caravan people, right? Aziz is free of charge. Therefore Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the one who purchased him from Aziz. So the purchase was valid at that regard. Why? Because from the Aziz's perspective, there's no reason to cause doubt. You understand this fiqh principle? You find the person and he has something in his hand or possession and it appears that it is his, he owns it. You don't have to now question him, where did you get it from, as long as there's no suspicion. Caravans always come and sell slaves. That's one of the main things caravans do. They take a slave from one country, they take him to another country and they sell him. So this caravan comes from Palestine and they have a young boy for sale. Everything is fine, there's nothing fishy here. So Aziz's transaction is absolutely correct and valid. No problem there. Unless, of course, the court of law is discovered he is, you know, a free slave. That's another story. But from, apparently, if we go to any shop or we're doing any transaction with a Muslim or a Kafir, and there is no suspicion or doubt about the merchandise, neither do we have to ask about it, nor should we. We just buy it and it is our possession after that. This is being extremely rigorous. Unless there is a cause for suspicion, that is another chapter. So the one who purchased him in Egypt told his wife, أَكْرِمِي مَثْوَاهُ يعني be generous to him. His مَثْوَى means his food, his place of lodging, his sleep. In other words, his whole household. Everything that he does, make it easy for him, be generous to him. And it is said, and it is an indication in this verse, that they did not have a child. Therefore they said, it is possible he will benefit us, or we will take him as a child. So the ulama have said that it is a strong possibility that these people, Aziz and his wife, they were not able to have children. So they said he will either benefit us, in a sense he will bring us benefit as a good slave, or if he is really good, we will take him as a child. We will adopt him as a child. وَنَتَخِذَ وَلَدَ وَكَذَلِكَ مَكَّنَّا لِيُوسُفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. And this is how we establish Yusuf in the land. How do we do this? By saving him from the well, by saving him from the caravan people, by saving him from a lowly household. We placed him in one of the highest households. And in fact, it was the blessing of Allah. Yusuf was chosen to be the slave and the servant of the same person whose place he was eventually going to take. The Aziz, eventually, right now Allah says that this person is Aziz. Later on, the same title is given to Yusuf. قَالُوا يَا أَيُّهَا الْعَزِيزِ. The title is given to Yusuf. So the indication is that the same household, the same occupation that the slave owner or the master had, eventually Yusuf was to take over it. So it was a great blessing from Allah, part of Allah's infinite plan, that Yusuf be raised up in the same household, watching the same profession that eventually he was going to become. And some of the ulama also say this is one of the reasons why he knew what to do when he saw the dream of the king, as we're going to come to tomorrow inshallah. He had grown up, he had been raised in that household, so he learned. He learned how to take care of agriculture. He learned how to be wise in his dealings in this type of affairs, because he was grown up in the same household. So this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala established him in the land. وَلِنُعَلِّمَهُ مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ. And so that we may teach him the interpretation of dreams. And we said another way to translate this is also we may teach him prophethood and the knowledge of the book. And Allah is going to be a victor over his affairs. وَاللَّهُ غَالِبٌ عَلَىٰ أَمْرِهِ. In other words, nobody can outdo the decree of Allah. When Allah decrees something, it will occur. Okay, if Allah has decreed something will occur, it will occur. No one will be able to go beyond that decree, but most of mankind do not know this thing. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Also look at this fact that as a slave in general, you're going to be mistreated very, very badly. Yet look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed for Yusuf to be treated. The husband himself tells the wife, أَكْرِمِي مَثْوَاهُ. Be generous to him. Be hospitable to him. And this is not what you do to a slave. But look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Yusuf from now. And look at how He protected him. By placing him not in a very low house where he's going to have to do a lot of work. No. Rather in a very noble house. In the house of the minister. And on top of that, that would be good enough. Because no matter where he is, he's going to be in the house of the minister. But on top of that, he has been given special attention. That the person says to his wife, be generous to him. Make sure his lodging, his room and board, his accommodations, his food, everything is good. So we can imagine that Yusuf was not being overworked. Yusuf was being well-fed, dressed well. Everything was for his advantage. And this is of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is also the Aziz, the minister. He had something in Arabic called firasa. Firasa means intuition. Okay, and this is something which is something which the Sharia also allows for. In the sense, it is possible that a person has an intuition about another person. Yes, this person will be someone very noble. This person will be a pious person. This person is of a very good akhlaq. Even though he might not have dealt with him, but he has a firasa, an intuition inside of him, just by his characteristics, just by his demeanor, just by his talking, he will have a feeling that this person is a very noble and good person. So the Aziz, when he went to the slave market, he picked Yusuf because he saw this in him. He saw this in him. And some of the ulama of the Salaf, they said that three people have reached the height of firasa. Three people have reached the height of firasa. Aziz, when he chose Yusuf, right? And the daughter of the shepherd who chose Musa alayhi salam, when she told her father that, "Oh father, hire him. Verily, the best person you can hire is one who is trustworthy and strong." So she saw in Musa something. And eventually, obviously, she was to become Musa's wife. So her firasa as well over here. And the third person, instead of say, was Abu Bakr when he chose Umar to be the Khalifa after him. He had that firasa in him. So this is what some of the ulama have said about firasa. And it is something that is allowed in the Sharia. And some of the ulama have even written books about it. But there's nothing explicit in the Quran and Sunnah that talks to you about the science of firasa. Yes, it does exist. This is true. But what it is an intuition from Allah. And you can see a person's you just meet someone and you know this brother is a good and honest brother. How do you know this? This is called intuition or firasa. And it's a person's firasa. It could be right, it could be wrong. But in general, the more iman and taqwa you have, inshallah, the more firasa also a person can have. And then Allah says, when he reached his maturity, ashuddahu. Now the ulama have differed about when this occurs. There's lots of opinions, 18, 20, 25. Some ulama even said 30 or 40. But it seems, and Allah knows best, that it was post-puberty. Because right now he's still a child. Okay, right now he's still a small young boy. So Allah is saying when he reaches his ashud, which is his age of puberty, and after that, آتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا. We gave him knowledge and power. Hukum means power to judge and rule, and ilm means knowledge. And the combination of these two things is the ultimate perfection for man. Because what usually happens is people have ilm but no power to enforce that ilm. Or they have power and no ilm in which to use. Therefore we find most of the ulama, right, they are not have authority in the land. They don't have authority in the land. And we find many of the people that are ruling, right, they do not have the knowledge to rule with. So when we combine the two, this is where the perfection comes. When you have the knowledge to rule and you have the power to enforce that rule. So this is what Yusuf, Allah is saying in Yusuf, that we gave him hukum and ilm. We gave him the power to rule and judge, and we also gave him the knowledge, and therefore we perfected his prophethood over here. The prophethood started when the inspiration came down when he's in the well, and when he's in the well. Now, when he has reached his puberty, his post puberty, he has now perfected his prophet in the sense now he is a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, وَكَذَلِكَ نَجِزِ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. This is how we reward those who have ihsan. Now this word ihsan, remember it now, because we're going to come across it many times in this surah. This is one of the main themes of the surah as well. Ihsan, the concept of doing good to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The definition of ihsan, like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, is to see Allah as though, to worship Allah as though you are seeing Him. Because even if you do not see Allah, Allah sees you. Okay? There are two levels of ihsan. The highest level is that you are constantly seeing not Allah, but you have a feeling that yani Allah that you are looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ulama have different terms for it, but this is a higher level of ihsan. The lower level of ihsan is that you know, even though you do not have that feeling, you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is looking at you. So therefore you are cautious of what you do, and everything you do is for the pleasure of Allah. So Allah says this is how we reward those who have ihsan. And remember this word and this phrase, we're going to come across it a lot in the future. Now when he reached his manhood, right, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also blessed him with beauty and handsomeness, jamal. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said when he went up to Al-Isra wal-Mi'raj, he saw Yusuf in the third heaven and he said, فَإِذَا قَدْ أُعْطِيَ شَطْرَ الْحُسْنِ. So I was surprised, or I saw him having half of all of beauty. So you can imagine if all of the beauty of mankind were to be divided up, ya subhanallah, one person, Yusuf alayhi salam, got half of that. So his beauty and his jamal and his handsomeness was really beyond human imagination. So this is one of the also things of the meaning of ashuddahu atayna hukman ilm. We gave him all of these blessings and benefits. We now move on to the next series of verses.